The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with trouble in the desert with their star hurt. Are the Suns going to set early in the West? Meanwhile, it's now or never for KD and company. Can Brooklyn find a way to be 1 second better in Boston? We're all over the NBA playoffs. Plus, why yesterday was the first day of the rest of Baker Mayfield's life. The clock ticks toward a trade. Where will he wind up? Those are the questions. We've got the answers as we get up with you starting right now, and as you can see, we are jam-packed. Here we go. McNutt is back for more. Ninko has made the trip up. Oh, look, it's J.J. Redick who's in our studio today. Delighted to see him, and that's not all. The big swagoo is here. Marcus Spears ready to go. Jeff Darlington's ready to break some news. Let's do it, everybody. And we start with the game of the night last night, and this was a bit of a stunner and potentially terrible news. Here we go. The one seed are the Suns. Devin Booker is their best player. Monica, he had it going early in this one, and he had it going with the crowd. Take a look here as he knocks down the tough shot. What happens at the end of the play?
This is how you follow through. This is only for elite athletes. He's practiced this. This is the perfect follow through right here. Boom. We love to see it.
Come on. Oh, he fist bumped the baby. Just over 3 seconds remaining in the second. Suns up two. Now they're up five at the break, and he had 31 in the first half. But hold everything. This is where it takes a turn. We're 5 minutes remaining in the third. The Suns are down by one. Just keep an eye on Booker as he's chasing down this play. He goes up, he comes down, and immediately grabs the back of the leg, and then, just as immediately, takes himself out of the game. He would not return. Well, I play. You see, Monica's face tells the story. It's a hamstring. We'll talk about it in a moment. Meanwhile, under 7 minutes to go, C.J. McCollum's got him going.
I mean, this is a guy that's been to a Western Conference Finals. This is why the New Orleans Pelicans traded for him, that pedigree, that confidence, and big-time moments. But this grainy?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Brandon Ingram was on another level. There literally was nothing this Phoenix Suns squad could do to stop him.
He had 37. The Pelicans win. But afterwards, coach, the talk is all about Devin Booker.
We've played without Chris and Book before. If we have to play without Book, next man up. And we've done that all year long.
All right, so how significant do we think this injury could be? Entering yesterday, Phoenix was the clear favorite to win the title, according to Caesars. After this injury, the odds to win went up a tick, and the Warriors sneakily went from plus 650 to plus 375, just 100 points behind the Suns. So our friends in the desert, not the one in Arizona, think this is a very big deal. JJ, as you see that, again, athletes are the closest thing to doctors. How would you describe the significance of this injury to Devin Booker?
Well, he needs to get an MRI. We need to know whether it's a grade one or a grade two hamstring. I've dealt with these before. You know, those things, if they can linger, it can really affect you. So the question is whether or not it's long-term. If it's a short-term thing, I think the Suns end up winning this series. I think they have enough to win this series. My concern is less the injury and more their transition defense. They were awful there last night. This was the third best defensive team in the league all season, and they could not guard anyone last night. So,
but let's go back to the injury for a second here, Monica, because that really is the question. Let's say we live in a world where he's going to miss a few games. Mm-hmm. They're going to New Orleans. They've been the best team in the sport all year long, and they've played without Booker. Do they win this series if they don't have him?
I still think they get out of this series. This, to me, last night's matchup was Willie Green, Monty Williams, who are friends, who have coached together, who know one another inside and out, and the Pelicans played perfect basketball. I still think that the Suns have enough to get out of this series without Devin, but after that, it starts to get bleak.
Yeah, certainly. The next round, they would get the winner of Utah-Dallas, but let's live here for a moment, JJ. If he's out, let's say two games, three games, we know how these we see what's happening with Luka. Mm. His is a calf, this is a hamstring, but these things tend to hold on if you don't rest it enough. Do they win this series without him?
I think they do. They've proven all year they've won without Chris. They've won without Devin. Earlier in the season, Ayton missed a bunch of games. Cam Johnson, as a starter this season, averaged like 17-5 on 50-40-90 shooting splits. they have enough to get past this team. Their half-court defense and their transition defense, those are the areas of concern with me. You got to get Brandon Ingram sped up in the half-court. Mm-hmm. He was way too comfortable last night. And if you look at the stat line of both him and C.J. McCollum, yes, it's the shot-making. Both those guys also had 9 assists, creating for other guys.
Ingram is, I've been saying this all year long, the best player in the league that no one ever talks about.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he showed you why last night. So, I just showed you the odds. Now, as you guys both get to know me, Monica and J.J., you will find I am a professional overreactor. So we've had 4 games played between these two series combined. Golden State has looked sensational. The Suns have an injury, and they're all of a sudden in a dogfight with the 8 seed, or the team that comes in. I guess they are now the 8 seed.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, does Golden State, Monica, look like the team to beat in the West?
Ooh, Greeny. I have been someone that's rolled with the Phoenix Suns all season long. But at this point, if we are still have questions that need to be answered about Devin Booker, you have to go yes. Now, on the flip side of that, I still have questions about the durability of this Warriors squad over the duration of a playoff run. While they have looked fantastic in the first 2 games, this is the first time we've seen this group look this good.
JJ.
The chances of this being a long-term injury where he can't play in the conference finals is slim. They have enough to get out of the first round. They have enough to win versus Utah or Dallas. So I think, yes, they are still the favorites. The Suns are still the favorites in the West. As long as Devin Booker is healthy for that series against the Warriors, I don't care who the Warriors have on the court, they are the favorites.
All right, we'll have much more time to get to last night's action as we go. But let's talk about what's coming up tonight, because so much is on the line in what might be the most compelling first-round series we've seen in years. You know what happened the other day. Jason Tatum giving Boston a 1-0 series lead over Brooklyn with that spinning layup at the buzzer for the Celtics to get the thrilling win. On the other side, Kyrie Irving was sensational. He scored 39. He also got into it with the fans. He was fined $50,000 by the league yesterday for giving the fans the finger during the game. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. Right now, we're going to talk about KD, who missed a 3 with 15 seconds left that would have sealed it. He scored just 23 points on 9 of 24. He was 1 of 5 from 3. Here's Steve Nash on KD.
I think we can try to improve some of the looks, but I think a lot of the looks are ones that Kevin's able to handle and make, and so I wouldn't overreact there. Kevin can play better and will play better. It's our job to help him, but Kevin knows how to adjust.
Okay, so I asked that. Not sure what that look on your face is, but I asked you this morning, what's KD going to do, and what did you say?
All right, KD's going to be fine. He probably will keep it a little bit more simple. He'll evaluate where the help is coming from. A lot of those turnovers, as a matter of fact, most of them were when he put the ball on the floor in traffic. So I'm looking for 1 or 2 dribble pull-ups because he's lethal. You cannot contest at his high release point. I'm looking for more give and goes, just cutting and moving because, again, you cannot contest at his high release point. And so KD's going to be fine. I didn't necessarily love that sound.
Why?
Because I don't think it's just KD. Yes, he's going to be fine, but Steve Nash and the Nets need to be better for KD.
How so, JJ?
Get him on the move more. Pin downs. He's made a living on that small pin down where he gets a mismatch at the elbow and can pull up. Kevin started his career with Seattle. He ran floppy action, just straight catch and shoot.
Yeah.
He's adept at scoring in so many different ways. My concern is not with Kevin Durant. Look,
right.
Kevin Durant at the end of the series, whether it's a 5-game series, a 6-7, whatever, he's going to average 28 to 32 on high efficiency. That's who he is. The concern is not Kevin Durant. They'll figure it out as this series goes along about how to get him cleaner looks.
Mm-hmm.
But no team is more equipped to make it tough on Kevin Durant than the Boston Celtics.
Well,
the size, the length, multiple defenders,
the
all
trust.
Of that. Yes.
That's what a lot of people were talking about in the last couple of days here. There's so much time between these games. But there was Steve Nash, and his approach is very soft-spoken and all that kind of thing. But people really wonder just how much coaching is going on there. They didn't seem to make a whole lot of adjustments as that game was going on. They were swarming Durant. They were all in his body, and they never really got it better. What is Durant going to do tonight? Give me the numbers.
He'll have a 32.
30 points tonight.
Yeah, he'll have a 32, 9 assist, 8 rebound, vintage Kevin Durant performance. There's no reason I don't think he won't have that. We talked about this yesterday.
Yep, come on.
To me, it's got to be Seth Curry and
yep.
more Patty Mills.
Mm-hmm.
They got to open things up. They need to spread the floor out. He's got to have space to operate, as does Kyrie. And those guys got to knock down shots. Patty Mills only played 12 minutes,
12.
Took 1 shot.
Mm-hmm.
Seth Curry took 7 shots. They got to get those guys going.
All right, so there's one X factor that will not play in tonight. It could potentially play in as the series continues. The Nets may ultimately get help from this guy. Ben Simmons, according to Woj, has been cleared for contact. Woj tells us he could be available for the Nets as early as game 4 for limited minutes. Tonight is game 2. Saturday is game 3. Game 4, of course, will be in Brooklyn. You have this skeptical look on your face, Monica. Can Ben Simmons at this point come to the rescue? You tell me.
JJ, come on. You're the pro. Can you get on a moving treadmill and make a major difference? Like, no. This is the most intense series we have in the opening round. If you can get some of Ben Simmons, fantastic. What a blessing. It is a gift. But am I expecting much? Not really.
Oh, wow.
Are you?
I'm expecting a lot, yeah. Mm-mm. If he's able to play, here's the thing. Ben Simmons' game is not reliant on feel or rhythm or touch. Ben Simmons' game is reliant on, can I go up and down the floor and can I guard?
Can he guard?
Well, historically, he's proven that he can guard.
But we don't know. Dude.
He hasn't played in years. He's not going to play if he can't physically move the way he wants to move.
All right.
He won't. Okay. They're not going to put him out there if his back's all messed up. Look, if he can play, I expect him to make an impact. Defensively, playmaking. Their closing lineup with him at the 5, especially against a team like the Celtics, that's dangerous to me.
Well, look, the bottom line is they lost by 0.6 seconds the other day. If he can make them 1 second better, he could have won them game 1. We'll see if he winds up doing it. So, bottom line, is tonight a must win, yes or no, for Brooklyn?
I say yes, because the Celtics' momentum is continuing to grow and their confidence. Their defense isn't
changing. I'm going to say the same thing I said yesterday.
I know.
It's not a must win. Brooklyn, look. They're going back home. They got 2 games. Ben Simmons probably coming back at some point this series. They have enough with Kevin and Kyrie. It's an important game, no doubt. But this is not the pivotal game in the series.
All right, you guys stay close. I can tell you guys will argue for the next 2
minutes. Important game is a must-win.
We'll get back to basketball.
Every playoff game is a must-win.
There it is.
Give me a second. Let's get to the NFL. The Cleveland Browns, yesterday, their new quarterback, Deshaun Watson, showed up for the team's voluntary workout. So he was in the building. And he was the only quarterback whose name you know well who was in the building, because their soon-to-be former quarterback, Baker Mayfield, was not at the workouts. That's certainly not a surprise. Yesterday was the first day of the rest of his life, which is to say the Browns are going on without him. And the question is, what's going to happen with him? So again, Swagoo and Rob Ninkovich. But Jeff Darlington, I'm starting with you. We are now 8 days away from round 1 of the NFL draft. What is the latest on Baker Mayfield?
Well, Greeny, I do not expect for the Browns to deal Baker Mayfield before the draft. And I say that because there's this clear line of delineation between when Baker Mayfield's deal will get done, but based on the fact that the Browns need to come down in both their asking price and how much of the $18 million salary in 2022 that they will pick up. And until these teams have their quarterback rooms solidified through the draft, meaning the Carolina Panthers at 6, some of these teams, Seattle needs to figure out exactly what they're going to do. Then they can make the decision on Baker, make their best offer, and this gets done. I would guess, honestly, that it gets done in the next 2 weeks. I just think that it takes after the draft for that to actually happen.
So just to make sure I'm clear on this, we're talking immediately after the draft, whichever team it is that does not figure out its quarterback situation over the course of those 3 days, then winds up saying, we're going to go get Baker. So, Marcus, I'm thinking back to a day on a beach in Miami. We were together, and Baker Mayfield came and sat with us on this show, and we were talking about his future. We were talking about his attitude. We were talking about all that kind of stuff. Here we are 2 years later, and the entire National Football League, including his own team, is basically saying to him, we don't want you. They can't give him away. Marcus, what does this mean?
Yeah, listen, G, you know, it's funny. You mentioned when we were in Miami. You think about the one thing we talked about with Baker Mayfield was his ego. That was the big part. We thought that was a major hindrance. And I told you, G, like when he came into the league, everybody talked about the chip on his shoulder. I was like, dudes in the NFL don't care about that. GMs don't care about that. Head coach, it is about production. Baker Mayfield has had one really good year. And obviously his rookie year, he came in and set that record. But the inconsistency is what the league is telling Baker Mayfield. You're inconsistent. You've also been, you played last year injured. We honestly don't know who you are. We've seen flashes. And I talked to Bill Parcells yesterday, because Parcells called me. He was like, you're looking good, big fella. You're losing some weight. But I asked him, I said, BP, give me your take on Baker Mayfield. And he said, inconsistent. There is some talent there. He plays at a high level at times. And those high leverage moments is when Baker really hurts himself. And if you go back and look at his career, if you go back and look at crunch time situations, outside of the game where I gave him credit for against the Baltimore Ravens, when Lamar had to go take a dump, but he was able to come back. Baker was playing well in that game and did well enough to win games. Cleveland had a plethora of problems, but he was one of them. And that is the issue the rest of the league is dealing with. And I'm with Darlington. Someone will sign Baker Mayfield. I do believe, as hard as I am on Baker Mayfield, I do believe he's one of the better 32 quarterbacks in the NFL. Somebody will come and get him. But the league is telling Baker Mayfield, we don't look at you like we looked at you the day you were taken first overall in the draft.
Well, that's exactly right. And that, to me, is really the most interesting part of this, Nico. He's obviously a better player than the way he's being treated. People are talking, the way the league is reacting to Baker Mayfield now, it's as though he cannot play at all. We recognize he can play at least a little. I don't understand this.
It's the numbers. So you have to look at the numbers. And Hembo gave me a few numbers that I think you need to listen to. Go. In the last two seasons, he is ranked 26th in dropback passing, and he has a QBR of 42.4. Now, if you are owed $19 million and you have stats that look like that and how you perform in the biggest parts of the game where you have to drop back and throw the football, you don't want to get a quarterback and sign a quarterback to your roster that can only hand the football off and run play action pass. You want a guy that can drop back, hit his back foot at 8 to 10 yards and throw a football strike down the field on 3rd and 10. That was his biggest problem. And then you add up, you know, the kind of the attitude and kind of the tantrums that we've seen and the injury history, because he has been injured and he's had a shoulder. So the $19 million is the biggest problem. That is the biggest deal. If he had a $4 million contract right now, he'd be gone.
But a starting quarterback, see, we keep coming back to this point. $19 million for a starting quarterback is nothing in the NFL. They're not treating him like he's a starting quarterback. You know what I think it's about, Marcus? And I'm going to use a term that you will appreciate. Real G's move in silence. He talks too much. There's too much of this complaining. A chip on your shoulder should be best handled in private, where no one can see it and you don't talk about it so much.
Yep.
And if he wasn't doing that, he would be on Carolina or somebody else right now, Marcus. What do you think?
G, to your point, like, absolutely. And you know how I am with that. You and I have said on set 1,000 times, and I've told you Baker Mayfield just need to go play football and do his thing and stop worrying about what people are saying outside of that. Another indictment, because Nick brought up a great point about the money. I think another indictment on Baker Mayfield, and a lot of people across this league look at, Jarvis Landry was known as one of the premier wide receivers before he went to Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
They told us OBJ couldn't play anymore when he was in Cleveland. This man was damn near about to be the MVP of the Super Bowl. So you looking at from a football perspective, you got to ask yourself, did Baker Mayfield make those guys worse? Was he able to build a rapport with two guys that was highly thought of talents in the NFL that went to Cleveland and kind of faded out and phased away? So there's a lot of things working against Baker. I think the one thing that works with him is he's had some success in this league and been to the playoffs. So I think a team will pick him up. But there's a lot of stuff you got to sift through before you decide to bring Baker Mayfield on. To your point, G, because you don't know what type of attitude and mentality he's going to have when things go awry, which they always do in the NFL.
All right, so I don't have time to get to the – so yesterday, essentially, Ben McAdoo, who's now the offensive coordinator in Carolina, said definitively, Sam Darnold is our starting quarterback, and then almost immediately thereafter said, oh, I shouldn't have said that. We'll play that for you a little later, but in the interest of saving time, he said, I put my foot in my mouth. That feels like the spot. Jeff Darlington, is that the spot we're looking at? Where should we be keeping an eye on right now for a potential trade of a guy who, again, was the number one pick in the draft and won the Heisman 4 years ago?
Greeny, I get why we think that's the spot, and I understand that $19 million is not that much for a quarterback, but it is a lot when you've already invested in Sam Darnold $18 million. So I don't know that it's as clear. I think there are other teams that could take Baker Mayfield on, easier than the Carolina Panthers could right now. So I'm not so convinced that that's ultimately where he ends up.
So what are the other teams?
I mean, Seattle, namely, is still, to me, makes the most sense. But look, if for some reason the Browns, and I don't expect this to happen, were to cut Baker Mayfield, I think he signs with the Pittsburgh Steelers the very next day. Again, teams do still covet Baker Mayfield. They just don't think that they need to give up as much as the Cleveland Browns are asking right now. This will trigger at some point, and teams will be interested. That day is just not today.
Let me say this. That will be quite a day. If Baker Mayfield signs with the Pittsburgh Steelers, he knocked out of the playoffs 2 years ago as a member of the Cleveland Browns. That will be one of the most interesting developments we've seen in the NFL in a very long time. All right, everybody stay where you are. We are just getting cranked up this morning on a very busy day here on Get Up. On the way, could we see another blockbuster trade in the NFL? Does one of the league's most dynamic weapons want out of San Francisco? It might be the case. We'll get there. Plus, the Butler did it. An epic night for Jimmy. Can he carry the Heat all the way to a championship? We'll answer all your questions as we get up with you on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Get Up is brought to you by Verizon. Verizon is going ultra, so you can too. Meanwhile, did you see this? We'll make it Meanwhile on Planet Earth, which is brought to you by our friends at Whole Foods Market. Hey, Nick, did you see Ciara doing this drill at the White House the other day?
She is quicker and better than I would be right now. Like, that is insane. At first, I didn't even know that was her, and then I realized that her moves, well, she's a dancer.
Yes, she's spectacular. Move. She hits the gritty, but I'm telling you right now, she should be someone's slot receiver. Am I wrong?
Well, hey, she'd probably make the Jets right now.
I could have done without that. Fair enough. One way or another, that was pretty cool. As we continue, Kyrie Irving punished by the NBA for Sunday's battle with Boston's fans. What happens in tonight's game two? We're talking about it. Plus, Tom Brady dropping hints about his future. Hey, Ninko, will this be his last dance? His former teammates got the insight as we get up here on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Start your mornings with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Every weekday at 6 a.m. Eastern, they answer the pressing questions around the sports world.
Let's talk about Steph's legacy.
They're going to probably draft an explosive guy.
And deliver their hot takes on breaking news and new developments.
The Lakers are one of the worst jobs in the NBA.
Tune in every weekday at 6 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
All right, back on Get Up. We showed you one game from last night. Let's get to the performance of the night. Monica McNutt, it came from Jimmy Butler as the Heat were hosting the Hawks in game two.
Jimmy was on fire. I mean, anytime Jimmy is shooting lights out from behind the three-point line, but then you got this kind of stuff? Come on, Greeny. This was the energy that the Heat needed to see.
And JJ, he was running the floor last night. He's doing it inside. He's doing it outside. He had it going from everywhere.
He's kind of got an unconventional game. He gets fouled a lot.
Right.
He shoots layups where he doesn't jump very high, and he rarely shoots threes, but he gets it done.
It gave the Heat an 11-point lead at the end of the third with that one there. Fourth quarter, Trae Young trying to keep his team in it with the corner three. He had 25. Hawks within four, but in the end, it was too much. Jimmy Butler. This time he does knock down a three.
I mean, he's on a mission. Like, he at one point in this game, he was 4 of 7 from behind the arc. Greeny, like, when Jimmy Butler is giving you this, watch out.
Watch out for the Euro step here. 1-2, and it's good. Jimmy Butler had 45 plus 5 assists, 5 rebounds, and the Heat get the win by 10. So they're up 2 games to none. Butler again with the big numbers. Only 2 other players in Heat franchise history have had that stat line, 45, 5, and 5, and they are D-Wade and LeBron, who did it 10 years ago in an East Coast Finals game against Boston. And so, look, they sit there in the driver's seat in this series. And you don't ever want to project ahead, but I'm going to do it anyway right now.
Fair.
JJ, I'm looking at the Heat, and I'm looking at the Sixers, and it feels like a collision course. We've talked so much about Philly here, and I had Monica and a lot of other people yesterday telling me, slow down. When they run into this defense of the Heat, that's going to change everything. How about Miami right now?
I think it's a good matchup for Miami, and I would expect that to be a very competitive series. The thing about the Heat defense, they have multiple wing defenders, Jimmy Butler, P.J. Tucker, that can guard James Harden. And then on the interior, they have Bam Adebayo, who you know, should have been maybe defensive player of the year, but that's arguably. He only played 56 games. But his ability to switch on the perimeter, clog things up inside, protect the rim, and potentially at times guard Joel one-on-one. That's the problem that Raptors are having right now. They have no one that can even come close to guarding Joel one-on-one, and he's just picking them apart, target practice threes.
You know, Monica, I mean, the league is built so much on drama and storylines that it feels like all year long we talked about Boston, we talked about Brooklyn, we talk about Milwaukee because of Giannis, and we don't talk much about Miami. They're the number one seed. Mm-hmm. Are they the best team in the East as we stand here right now?
I'm still going with the Milwaukee Bucks as the best team in the East. However, I mean, look at how Miami is constructed. Did you know who Max Strus was if you're not a DePaul alum? I mean, all you heard was Jimmy Butler's out, Bam Adebayo's out, Kyle Lowry is missing time. If you're not familiar with Max Strus and Gabe Vincent and Omar Yurtseven, shout out to Mahoya. You didn't know what was going on in Miami, so it makes sense.
And so a lot of people don't. And the other name in that should be mentioned is Eric Spoelstra, because the reality is when we make the list of the best coaches in the NBA, and that matters a lot at this time of year, his name has to be up or at the top.
He's built, along with Pat Riley, he's built a culture and a trust with his players. Think about this.
Yeah.
Duncan Robinson in game one hits 8 threes and goes for 27 points. He played 7 minutes last night and didn't take a shot.
Wild.
Spoelstra has got those guys buying in to the one agenda that matters.
Yeah.
Winning a basketball game and of course, winning a series. That's what matters. They built something in the bubble with this team, with this core group, and I expect them to make a deep run. I really do. But I agree with Monica. Let's not overthink it. The Bucks win the big three plays, 35-10. Most of those games without Brook Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
He's back playing like Brook Lopez.
All right, we'll see. Milwaukee back in action tonight against the Bulls. In the meantime, I want to go back to the Nets and Celtics for another storyline here. Speaking of drama, Kyrie fined $50,000 for flipping off the fans in Boston in game one. Here was his teammate KD talking about the fans' animosity towards the former Celtic.
I mean, it's rooted in love. They once loved you. They once cheered for you and, you know, bought your merchandise and, you know, had, you know, life-altering experiences coming to games watching you play. So when it kind of gets ripped from them from just something like a trade or demanding a trade or wanting to leave, like, they feel like a piece of them is gone too.
So this is a conversation you could take about as deep as you choose to. You can go just a little deep and say, is the $50,000 fine justified? Or you can go really deep into the relationships that exist between the fans and the players. One way or another, JJ, as one who played in the league a long time, what do you think of the situation with Kyrie and the fans and the way it was handled by the league?
He should have been fined, and so I agree with the fine. I want to acknowledge just Kevin Durant waxing poetic there. Yeah. Just one of the best existential quotes I've seen from him. So good. No one knows better than me about fan abuse. So no one, trust me, no one knows better than me about fan abuse. Well, I have zero problem with what Kyrie did. And I'll be honest with you. At one point in time, I probably flicked off a fan. In college, I used to throw up a couple hand signals to UNC and Maryland fans. That's okay. It's part of the game. And guess what? If you are going to attack a player, dehumanize a player, berate a player, why should a player not be able to just throw up a hand signal?
I feel so validated, Greeny.
Because?
I didn't think this was a big deal. And I hated the fact that it trumped the story of an excellent basketball game.
Meaning,
this series is arguably, the best of the first round. And we're talking about some gestures. Mind you, it's not as if we don't know the history of Kyrie and these particular fans. So come on, let's go. Let's get the game two.
Yeah, here's what I would say about the whole thing. I think everyone did what they're supposed to do.
Right.
The fans did what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to boo Kyrie and yell all sorts of things. If he wants to, he is supposed to react however he chooses to react, short of going into the stands and going after somebody. What he did is, at the end of the day, generally harmless. And the league did what it's supposed to do. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to make some statement that we can't accept this kind of behavior from our players, and so they fined him an amount of money that if it fell out of his pocket, he wouldn't even bother bending over to pick it up. So to me, JJ, everyone kind of did what they're supposed to do.
I agree with that. I also agree with Monica that this is taking away from a more important storyline, which is hopefully we get seven games of elite basketball like we got in game one. These two teams, to me, they're an even match.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing about this series. They're an even match. This is going to be a chess game, back and forth, and hopefully we get seven games.
Well, there's a couple of ways to look at that. It was as even as a game could possibly be in game one, and Kevin Durant couldn't possibly play worse. So it's in that regard, if you're rooting for Brooklyn, then maybe that sort of gives you a little bit of hope. I'll tell you what I'm intrigued by now. I need to go back and find the video of you taking on Maryland and Carolina. I need to find JJ surreptitiously flipping off the fans.
It wasn't, you know what? It was I'm not going to say what it was. There's a picture. You can find the picture. It was not a middle finger. It was a different hand gesture. I'm not proud of it.
Fair enough. No. Listen, I remember the way the fans treated you. Yeah. You deserved at least that, if not more, in return. Okay, let me give you some of the big questions ahead of tonight's game two of this series. JJ, Kyrie Irving, over under 30 points tonight.
I'm taking the over on that. His shot creation is elite. We saw him in the fourth quarter of game one getting to his spots and just knocking down tough shots at an elite level. This is what he does. He'll have more than 30 tonight. I believe that.
And he is that rare player in today's game that I think thrives on the animosity with the fans. Like, that used to be a thing. Now there's a level of sensitivity sometimes players don't handle that well. I think he loves it. Monica, KD or Jason Tatum? Who scores more tonight?
Oh, it's KD, Greeny. KD is on a mission. He's not going to put together two subpar games. We won't even call that first game bad. He's not going to have the turnovers. He's going to be elite and deliberate with his dribbling. Himbo gave me the stat. He was 5 of 9 when he took one dribble, 4 of 15 when he took more than 3.
Yeah, they were collapsing all over him. All right, finally, JJ, it's the big question. Are the Nets going to even this series tonight?
I think the Nets are going to even this series. We forget they should have won this game.
Mm-hmm.
The lack of execution from the time that Kyrie Irving made that three, Boston calls us the timeout. There's 45 seconds left. Jaylen Brown scores in 6 seconds.
Right.
Then they don't call timeout and set up a play. Like, the lack of execution down the stretch to me is what lost.
But that's what I brought up Eric Spoelstra earlier. The coaching difference in this series could wind up being an enormous difference. The Boston's coach could be the coach of the year this year. And the Nets, look, no, they don't have a coach, right? I mean, KD and Kyrie said it. They don't want to be coached. They didn't make a single adjustment in that game. They didn't call a single play. There was no obvious evidence to me that there was any real coaching going on there at all. Am I overstating that?
I don't know if that's a dig on Steve Nash.
It's not a dig on Steve Nash.
Kevin and Kyrie.
It's not a dig on anyone. It's an observation.
Kyrie came out publicly before they even played a game for Steve Nash. We don't really have a coach.
That's what I'm saying.
This is coaching by committee. So, yeah, I think that dynamic certainly exists there. But to suggest that Steve Nash is not trying to coach and is not building a game plan, he's doing that. I do have a problem with – Whatever was said in the huddle at that 45-second timeout, Nick Claxton is at the top of the key with his back turned to Jaylen Brown.
Right.
There's a direct driving lane. It is a one-possession game with 40 seconds. You have to play normal defense in that scenario. I do not know what was said to him in that huddle, so I'm not blaming Nick Claxton, but there's got to be better late-game execution.
So just to counter all that, we're talking about the net side. Post-game, Ime Udoka talks about not needing to call a timeout because he trusted his squad. And so to me, that's why game two is so important, because if it comes down to X's and O's, edge Udoka.
This is an enormous first-round series, and we'll see the action tonight. Meanwhile, could we see another blockbuster trade in the NFL? Does one of the league's most dynamic weapons want out of San Francisco? The story's next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Back on Get Up, game two last night, Timberwolves and Grizzlies, and that young man, Ja Morant, spectacular. Hey, Swagoo, no one loves basketball more than you. Is there a more dynamic young star in the sport right now?
No, sir, there is not, G. And listen, Ja told everybody, stay on that side after they lost that first Timberwolves game.
That's right. He posted a Michael Jordan gift yesterday. Takes a lot of guts to do that, right?
His mentality, his attitude. He came out here and we was like, oh, y'all think Anthony Edwards that dude? Let me show you who I am. I am Ja Morant. I am Memphis. And that's what he did.
There was that one scary moment where he went down grabbing the leg, but the good news was he got back up and came back in the game almost immediately and then would continue to do what he does as he takes this in here with the floater. He would score 23 plus 10 assists plus 9 rebounds. The Grizzlies, even the series, they win this one going away 124-96. And we've got a trio of game threes for you on Friday night. We got Heat Hawks, we got Bucks Bulls on ABC, we got Suns and Pelicans, all three games available on ESPN Deportes, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app, so you will not miss a single possession. We'll start your night with NBA Countdown at 6:30 Eastern. Now back to the NFL. Does Deebo Samuel want out of San Francisco? He wants to get paid. He has scrubbed the 49ers off his social media page. And yesterday on NFL Live, Shefty had this fascinating update on the situation.
San Francisco would pay Deebo Samuel today, tomorrow, the next day. It's not hard to figure out what the contract would look like. We've seen some of the top numbers in the league. This, I think, right now is Deebo Samuel not wanting to get a deal done. It's not San Francisco not willing to do the deal. The 49ers are ready. Deebo Samuel is the one that has put a halt to everything for right now.
Well, isn't that fascinating? I mean, Jeff Darlington, what should we take away from that?
I don't know, Greeny. Look, we never want to start any answer with I don't know, but there's a hole in this story somewhere. Deebo Samuel makes very clear, by the way, through the 2022 way that we all make it clear we want out by scrubbing our social media of any reference to the 49ers. He is entering the final year of his deal, but Schefter's saying that the 49ers are willing to pay him. Quite frankly, it doesn't make sense. I think that we have to figure out exactly what it is that Deebo Samuel wants, and I think we would all appreciate if someone is willing to scrub their social media of all references to the team they play for. We'd love another explanation as to why they're doing that. We'll have to wait and see what happens here, but you heard Schefter there. The 49ers understand the value of Deebo Samuel. What exactly they're willing to pay him remains the next step, I think, in this process.
And, Nico, I mean, let's make clear, I don't even think we need to explain to people just how valuable a player Deebo is, but he became a lot of people, including me,
their favorite player in the entire NFL last year, with the way he carries the ball, the way he catches the ball, the attitude that he brings out there, the image of him crying at the end of the game when they lost last year. He's everything you could possibly want. If he wants out, teams should be all over themselves to get him, yes?
100%. You would want him on your team. But hear me out on this one. Maybe he doesn't want to be a running back. Maybe he wants to be a receiver. We've seen what these receivers are getting, and we know what the market is for a running the running back. And at one point last year, he was leading the NFL in rushing as a running back and receiving as a receiver.
Right.
So you know that the NFL is not that long. You don't have a long career. It's not for long, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're playing running back and receiver and you're taking all the hits and you are touching the football, the amount that he is touching the football, it's a matter of time that he's going to either be beat up or just not feel great. So for him, maybe he's looking at this thing like, okay, they're going to use me up here. They're going to pay me, but are they going to pay me as a number one wide receiver?
Right.
Are they going to pay me Adams type money? Or are they going to look at me and say, well, you know, you're running back and there's a running back market and there's a receiver market. So there could be issues with just how they give him a contract. Yeah, they'll be willing to pay him, but what? What are they willing to give him?
It's a fascinating scenario here. Marcus, what do you make of this whole thing?
Well, first and foremost, let me say, because Nink makes a great point about you find yourself in that no man's land if you Debo Samuel. Debo Samuel clearly is trying to let everybody know that I'm a wide receiver because of the money, right? But then you look at, I listened to what Shefty said, and I think, like, there has to be some separation on contract negotiation. Like, because I don't know of a team wanting to pay a guy and it not getting done unless they far away on the money. And when you look at, when you think about what Nink just said about where they potentially see Debo or what they see him as, a team can get they can start feeling themselves and try to play some games. And Debo is like, nah, we ain't doing it that way. I see what these receivers are getting. So the only thing I can think of, G, is that they trying to slot him as something else outside of a wide receiver.
It's going to be fascinating to see how that thing plays. If that guy decides he wants out of San Francisco, that is the player every team should be trying to get. One more thing I wanted to bring in here. Tom Brady this week spoke to ESPN's Tom Van Haren about his decision to come back and play football and how much longer he wants to play in the league. He said, quote, I knew my body physically could still do what it could do. And obviously, I have a love for the game. I think I'll always have a love for the game. I do think physically I'll be able to do it. I just felt like there was still a place for me on the field. I know I don't have a lot left. I really do. I know I'm at the end of my career. I wish you could go forever, but it's just not. And football comes at too high of a cost now. Now, your longtime teammate here, Rob Ninkovich, and again, you were the one, you told me he was going to retire, and he did. You told me he might come back, and he did. So now, what's he saying? Is this a one-year return for Brady?
Yeah, I was right on the whole retirement thing. And yeah, I was right saying that he probably would come back. But I don't know anything, okay? But when I listen to this statement and you look at the fact that he did retire and then he came back saying that he still had a hunger or something inside him, told him to come back for one more season, I do believe that this would probably be the last year for Tom to play, considering he says, yes, I understand you can't play forever. And I would love to play forever. But just kind of his demeanor and the way that he's just had that statement come out, and the way it reads to me is this is my last go around. I'm going to play 17. Hopefully we win a Super Bowl. And if that's the case, he's gone. He's gone.
Darlington, what do you think? Is this one and done for Brady after the 40-day retirement?
I would be surprised if he plays beyond this season. I think that one of the things that Tom has struggled with over the past several months is transitioning, bridging the gap between his current career and what's next for him. And this, you know, extended into this past season, trying to figure out, is this my last year? Should I be done? Do I want a farewell tour? And I think he recognizes that. But ultimately, if he could just go through this season and not have to answer any of the questions, and then retire at the end of that, that would be what he'd prefer. I just don't know that that's a reality. I think there'll be a farewell tour for him, whether he likes it or not.
That's probably right. So, Swagoo, Ninko just said, if he wins the Super Bowl, he sails off into the sunset. That's a fairly big if, right? There's 31 other teams with other ideas. Are they the favorite in your mind? A lot of stuff is still going to be, you know, reshuffled at the draft. But we know what Tampa looks like. Are they the favorite to you?
No, hell no. Did you hear that man a couple weeks ago that played for the Los Angeles Rams say he feel faster and stronger? He played defensive tackle. His name is Aaron Donald. Mm-hmm. And they just gave that quarterback that they got that actually won the Super Bowl last year, they just extended his contract. They got Allen Robinson from Chicago. Cooper Kupp said, I'm not worried about no stats. I ain't worried about no money. I'm just doing me. I compare me to me. That sounds like a team to me that is on their way well to repeat it. I know my big dog, Andrew Whitworth, has retired, but I expect them to address their left tackle spot. The favorite in the NFC today is the Los Angeles Rams. And it's because of all of this quarterback talk with Tom Brady, it's because of 99. His name is Aaron Donald. That's why they are my favorites, and that's probably why they're going to be my favorites on the way. And don't forget this, G, and I want everybody to mark this day down. I don't know what the day, April 20th, 2022. Yes. We are far away from the season. The Saints will have something to say about the NFC South this year. Mark it, book it. They wow. may win that division.
Yes. Marcus said that on 420, whoa. Which is a date that for many people is a significant one. And we'll just leave it at that. In the meantime,
for Snoop Dogg.
With these featured events on ESPN Plus. Saturday, the German Classico between Bayern and Dortmund. That's on ABC. Coverage begins at noon Eastern. Tyson Fury puts his belt on the line against Dillian White at Wembley. That's on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. The 120th annual Copa del Rey final is a matchup between Real Betis and Valencia. And the much-anticipated series finale of Tom Brady's Man in the Arena drops Tuesday night at 11 Eastern. A huge month coming your way. Coming up, a huge injury that could change absolutely everything in the NBA. How much trouble are the Suns in after losing Devin Booker? We're talking about it coming up next. Plus, is tonight a must-win for Kevin Durant and the Nets? We're all over the NBA playoffs as we roll on here. Get up on ESPN. All right, he had a legendary football career, and today he is here to reveal his favorite play call ever. It's the great Emmett Smith. Welcome back to Get Up, Emmett. So is the play named after you?
Nope. It's called Pancake-a-Rooski. It's not a 300-pound lineman flattening the defense like pancakes, but it's IHOP's new loyalty program. The International Bank of Pancakes. No razzle, no dazzle. Just go to ihop.com/rewards or download the IHOP app and start earning more and more PanCoins today. Free pancakes, free smiles. The perfect call.
When you're smiling, when you're smiling, the
IHOP Rewards program is here, and it's delicious. Join the International Bank of Pancakes and start earning PanCoins toward free food. Only from IHOP.